Verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they risk my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When David wrote this, he was being oppressed by his enemies. Being the man of God that he was, and being a king of God, he had lots of enemies. David, throughout his lifetime, shed many tears. The more you study about David and his writings, you'll find him crying quite often. Sometimes he would be shedding tears for himself, fear of what was going on around him, or perhaps because of his sins that he had committed, because of the grief, and he would be very sorrowful. And so he would shed tears for himself. But he would also, we find him shedding tears for his family. That was not uncommon for David at all, especially when he saw the things that his family went through, and some of that was as a result of the consequences of even David's sins. And then David also would shed many tears for his own people from time to time. When I think about David's life, I think about my life, and as you think about your life, no doubt, there have been times when you've shed many tears. Perhaps you've shed tears for yourself. Maybe you've looked at your own life and your shortcomings or your failings. It may be that you've shed tears because of pain. It could be any number of things. There's sometimes you just need a good cry. Sometimes that just seems to make things better. When things begin to just swell up inside of you and you may have anxiety and things of that nature, there's nothing like a good old cry. Just shed some tears. Sometimes you shed tears without even meaning to. You're just overwhelmed by emotions and it just happens. It can be, as we'll see tonight, it can be tears of joy. It can be tears of sorrow and sadness. So David was a man who shed many tears. And as he writes Psalm 56, as we mentioned, he's crying due to the oppression of his enemies. I want us to focus again on verse 8. This is where our main idea comes from of God's tear bottle. In verse 8, he said, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle, David said to God. Are they not in thy book? The word tellest there means to score with a mark as a tally or record. In other words, keep record of my tears, keep up with my tears that I shed. The word wanderings in that text could be exile, which refers to the many attempts by his enemies to isolate him by their floods of persecutions that he faced on a regular basis. You can even remember all that he went through. You could go back to Goliath and the giant and what went on there, but even more so, his good friend Saul, the one he looked up to, and the way Saul mistreated him and was out to get him on many occasions. David had many, many enemies, and so he shed tears over that. David wants God to put his tears in a bottle, God's bottle. Here is an allusion to a very ancient custom of putting tears that were shed over the death of another into a container, a bottle, a jar of some sort, to be offered on the tomb of the deceased. The Egyptians did it. The Romans did it. But what David is wanting here is for his tears, his many tears, to be stored in a bottle in remembrance of the evil doings of his enemies. David wants all these things also to be written in God's book of remembrance. Isn't that interesting? The whole idea. I even read where at times they would have these professional mourners that would go about mourning and weeping the death of people they didn't even know perhaps, but they would be paid to do that. And sometimes these people that were paying these mourners would want those mourners to put their tears in a bottle that could be placed by the deceased at the tomb or wherever, whenever it was time to do that. In our world, in our time, in our country, every day, every night, rivers of tears flow from the eyes of the homeless, the hungry, the hurting, the grieving, the addicted, the sick, the sinful, the physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually abused. From the eyes of the frightened and from the eyes of the feeble. Notice something else that David said. In Psalm 6, verse 6, he said on that occasion, he said, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. I don't know that I've ever cried that much or ever seen anyone cry that much. I've seen some of you cry probably close to that much, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. You're actually being like David. But David is, he's expressing how much he has cried. Just think about crying so much that your bed is swimming in tears. That's a lot of crying. So we know there's nothing wrong with that. It's a necessary thing at times. And so as I think about the many people that I've seen shed tears over the years, and I just listed a few different conditions that people are in that bring great tears and sorrow, and as I think back over the years, I've seen a lot of tears. And I think about, as I studied this message, God putting all those tears in his tear bottle, in his book of remembrance. You see, something that gives me comfort, as I know it did David, as he writes in this passage that we're studying, there's not a single tear that falls from the eyes of one of God's children that goes unnoticed. Every tear that falls from your eyes or falls from my eyes, God sees. He notices. In a sense, he puts them in his tear bottle. In Job chapter 34, verse 21, and I'm sure Job shed a lot of tears from all the many things that Satan did to him and all the sufferings that he went through as he was being tried and tempted and tested. But in verse 21, the Bible says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, talking about God, and he seeth all his goings. Some nights you may think when you're down and depressed or sad or have received some bad news or you're frightened or whatever the case may be, and tears begin to flow down your cheeks and you may feel as though you're all alone. Know that you're never alone. And realize what David is saying here. The implication to us is that God takes every tear that we shed and he puts them in his bottle. He notices. God cares. God cares. Now, what I want us to do for a little while is just talk about some of the tears mentioned in the Bible. There are many, and I've just chosen a few that we'll talk about briefly. First of all, the tears of the Savior. Sometimes we as men may think, well, you know, it's not very manly of us to shed tears. That's not true. There's nothing at all true about that. I understand that some are more easily brought to tears than others, especially men. Some women very rarely ever shed tears, some quite often. But that has nothing to do with being strong or brave or manly. When I think about Jesus, the greatest man that ever lived, he shed a lot of tears, didn't he? At Lazarus' grave, John chapter 11, verse 35, one of our favorite verses, us who were students in preaching school, we had to quote a lot of scripture and we had to answer roll with the scripture. So many times they would stop us from quoting John 11, 35, Jesus wept. Just two words, but oh, what meaning are found in those two words. Oh, what compassion. What tender love and kindness. What humanity is seen in the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, wept when he saw his friends weeping when Lazarus had died. Again, we find that as he stands over the city of Jerusalem, a very special city to Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 19, verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. You remember how that he knew that Jerusalem would be conquered by the Romans and the great suffering that would take place in AD 70. And you remember how he would cry out to the city of Jerusalem and how he just grieved over her because of her wickedness. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He would cry out, how many times do I as a hen gather her chicks together? I cluck to you. I want to take care of you. I want to protect you. I want to comfort you, but you would not. And so, behold, your house is left to you desolate. When he looked at his people, he had great sorrow in his hearts, and he wept in his heart, and he wept over that city. But he also, if you remember, he wept when he was in the garden. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. Again, we see his humanity. We remember in the garden he prayed, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. As drops of sweat, as blood drip from his head. Jesus was a man that wept. He wept more often than we might would think. But you know something? He didn't shed a single tear that his Father did not notice. Every tear that he ever shed, God put in his tear bottle. We have tears of joy. I think I may like them even more. That may be my favorite. I remember the day when I held Megan in my hands and when I walked into that little room and stood by that big window and all the family was on the other side of that window. And I remember as my parents and everyone looked in that window as they did with their eyes, and I just remember being all choked up. I was just so full of joy as I held that little baby for the family to see. Tears of joy. I think about Joseph when his brothers go to Egypt and to buy some grain. And eventually, you know the story, but he makes himself known to his brethren. What a reunion that must have been. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 45, verse 15, moreover, he kissed all his brethren. Man, there's nothing wrong with you kissing your sons, your brothers, those you love. You find it throughout Scripture. He kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. Tears of joy because they would be together again. Even though they mistreated him, they did repent. And oh, how he loved his brethren, no matter what they did to him. And then we have tears of gratitude. You remember the story of the woman that came to Jesus? And all the Pharisees didn't like it because Jesus had something to do with her because she had somewhat of a bad reputation. She was known in that city as a sinner. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7, verse 38, and stood, she stood at his feet That's the feet of Jesus behind him, weeping. She didn't even go before in front of him. She was so humble that she went to his backside and wept and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. You see, if you continue to read, you'll read where the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus forgave her of her many sins. He didn't say she does not have many sins or she's not as good as some of you. No, he said she had a lot of sins, but a lot of sins were forgiven because of her humility, how she humbled herself before God, and how she just threw herself there at his mercy. And he forgave her of her sins. You remember when you obeyed the gospel? What kind of gratitude did you show? Did you shed any tears? I've seen a lot of tears be shed when people have obeyed the gospel, being so thankful, having realized how sinful they had been, and then to realize that this one shed his life's blood for me. That'll make a lump come in your throat. That'll make tears start to run from your face if you have true tears of gratitude, which we have all had. You have tears of regret. You remember the story about Esau? It's brought up for us in Hebrews 12 again, a story from the Old Testament. In verse 16, the Bible says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." You remember that story? He sold his birthright to his brother, right? "For ye know how that afterward," after he sold his birthright, "when he would have inherited the blessing," he was the oldest son, remember? "He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." You see, that place of repentance that he was searching for was in his father Isaac's mind. Isaac could not change what had happened. But we see Esau actually with tears streaming down his face. Tears of regret. I've looked back over my life and I've seen times when I've had a lot of regret. Things I wish I had not done. Things I wish I had not said. Tears of regret. And then we find tears of a soul winner. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, here the Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." In the context, it has reference to Judah's captivity and return. I remember several years ago, before I ever moved here, I went to a place on the Florida-Alabama line, and I started driving in every direction trying to find a congregation of the Lord's church. And from that one point, you could drive an hour in any direction before you would come to the Lord's church. And some of them were not faithful. That place still exists today, and the situation is still the same. But I can remember the heaviness on my heart when I realized that right here in the South, you could drive for miles without finding the Lord's church. What does that do to a person that has an evangelistic heart? To realize that right here, there are areas, and as I've been told, out west and up north, there are places where, you know, even in Georgia, there's whole counties that may not have a Church of Christ in them. But oh, won't that bring tears to your eyes? To think of all these generations of people who would grow up in these areas where there is no congregation of the Lord's church, right here, not in a third world country. Oh, it's not uncommon for true soul winners to shed a lot of tears. When you stop and think about the situation of our old world and the people who do not have the privileges that we have, the conveniences of being able to just drive a short piece and study God's Word, learn God, be taught God's Word, obey the gospel. Then you have the tears of a backslider. In Psalm 137, verse 1, the Bible says, "For by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." Again, this is also reference to Judah's backsliding. And you remember, because of them turning their backs on God, they went into Babylonian captivity. Well, here they are, these backsliders in Babylonian captivity, looking back at Zion and how good they once had it. I think about the prodigal son, who left his father's house and went into a far country, and he wasted his inheritance in ways that were ungodly, and he found himself in a hog pen feeding hogs. No doubt that young man shed a lot of tears before he made it back to his father's house. I would to God that all backsliders that have moved themselves away from God would be brought to tears tonight. To have such heaviness on their hearts that they would turn and come back to God, to that place of blessings for them before it's too late. If you ever backslide and you shed those tears, know that God will take every tear you shed and put it in His bottle. He'll notice. He'll pay attention. And then you have the tears of the concern for the church. I think about the Apostle Paul and how difficult his life was because of his great concern and his love for the Lord's church. And with all that severe persecution taking place during that time, how that he no doubt had many sleepless nights being concerned about his brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts 20, verse 31, the Bible says, Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I believe that if we could really somehow see the condition of the Lord's church in Baldwin County tonight, we would shed tears. If there was some way to measure her faithfulness in the state of Alabama, it would bring us to great tears. We could see how the church is being attacked right now on every side, being attacked from outside and being attacked from within. If you love her, you would shed tears. But God would notice. And then the tears for loved ones in need. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, here's an example of a man whose son had a dumb spirit. And in verse 24, the Bible says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." One of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life was Megan in the hospital after the situation, the things that happened to them with Juniper, the unfortunate thing that happened there, and to see your own child striving to be so strong for everyone, but yet having pain unbearable, that'll make you shed tears. But as I think about those tears that were shed then, I take comfort in the fact that God put them in his tear bottle. He saw, he noticed, and he makes all things better. Some of you have experienced things similar to that, and you know what it's like. And then the tears of bereavement. You think about Jesus again, that when he's there where Lazarus and his family is, sisters. In Luke chapter 11, verse 35, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw her, that was Mary, the sister of Lazarus, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I don't mind telling you that one of the most difficult things for me to deal with in life is death. Some people can't hardly deal with it. They really struggle with it. But you have to look at it in the right way. Death is a good thing, but yet it's hard to see that. Especially for those who are infants, children, those who are faithful in Christ. They're better off. It's a good thing. But still, even when the best saint you've ever known has left the walks of this life, most likely you shed a lot of tears. You may be happy for them because they're no longer suffering, but there is a sadness that comes over you because you've lost something the way it feels. Perhaps a part of you is gone. And so there are tears of bereavement. But yet remember, God noticed. He notices and he puts those tears also in his tear bottle. In Acts chapter 9, verse 39, we read about the people that were gathered around Dorcas, this great sister, this wonderful Christian lady. And you know, even though she was a faithful Christian and done many great works, they still had tears, didn't they? It's part of being human. In verse 39 of Acts 9, the Bible says, then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Tears of bereavement. You know something we all need to remember? That your God, the one who cares for you more than we could ever comprehend, has bottled up all of our tears in his tear bottle. We need to remember that that same God, the God of David, loves you. In 1 John 3, verse 1, John wrote, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Think about the privilege that we have tonight of being known as children of God. What love has been extended to us to allow us, to enable us to be adopted into his wonderful family. And then, please keep in mind the promise that is found in God's scriptures, where he has promised to one day wipe away all tears. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, the Bible says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know, when my little children would fall down and they would skin their knees, and if I were there, I would take the little children and I would wipe the little tears off their little faces as they would run down, and I'd kiss their boo-boos and make it feel better. But you know, eventually they would do something else and they would have more tears, and you just continue the process, mom and dad loving on them and wiping tears away from their eyes. And sometimes they would just keep coming and keep coming, and you just keep wiping and keep wiping. But you know something? There's coming a day when we'll be in heaven with God. There'll be no tears. Because when God wipes them away, it's over with. You see, there'll be no tears there. There'll be no crying in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow." You see, death causes tears, right? Sorrows cause tears, nor crying. "Neither shall there be any more pain." I wonder how many people are crying right now because they're in severe pain. I saw my father cry before he passed away. I saw him cry and I saw him beg God to take him out of this old world. Pain. But you know something? We've got confidence and assurance that there's coming a day when there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more tears to put in any tear bottle. There'll be no tears to wipe away. God's going to take care of all of that. And then most of all, I want you to remember this. It comes from our text in verse 9. Psalm 56, verse 9. Remember this. Always. David said, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back." This I know. This I know, David said. Listen, what do you know, David? This I know, for God is for me. It doesn't matter how difficult life becomes. It matters not how many people turn against you, whether they're friend, foe, whether they're close or far off. You know this for sure. God is for you. There may come a time in your life when you are not for you. But I tell you what, God will always be for you. He'll always be for me. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be faithful. He wants to give us that home in heaven. He wants to once and forevermore wipe away all of our tears. Remember, God is for you. The devil is against you. And many others may be against you, but not God. He is for you. If you're here this evening, you've never obeyed the gospel, you may start thinking things like, "Well, I'm not good enough. I can't be good enough. I don't deserve to be saved." On and on, our minds can just run wild. But know this. You can think all those things, say all those things, but remember this, God's for you. He is for you so much so that He sent His only begotten Son to suffer and die upon the cross for you. You ever wonder how much God is for you? You just think of that verse alone, John 3:16, and you think about that little word, S-O. God so loved you. You've got to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You've got to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. That faith should motivate you to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, and then to confess the sweet name of Jesus. That is, that you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God, Acts 8, verse 37, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9 and 10. And then be baptized to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16, by the blood of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5.